flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, it's Annie Heilbrun from Annie and Elston. Thanks for downloading and listening to Annie and Elston. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. We're also live weekdays on YouTube. And of course, you can always listen live weekdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Not to welcome on the head coach of San Diego Wave FC, but it is 1 o'clock. So let us begin with what many of you are waiting for with bated breath, which is the announcement of today's biggest fan. This person will have 10 minutes to give us a ring, and that person is, drum roll, Justin Schweitzer in Chula Vista. Congrats, Justin Schweitzer of Chula Vista. You are today's biggest fan. Give us a call back now within the next 10 minutes at 833-288-0973, and you'll qualify for our grand prize, 20 tickets for you and your friends for a night in our Odyssey suite at a Padres game later this season. Remember, you can register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. But one more time, Justin Schweitzer in Chula Vista. You are today's biggest fan. Give us a call. You've got 9 minutes now to give us a ring, and good luck to you. Annie Halbert, Craig Elston, Braden Soprano with you. Final hour of the weekday for us on Annie and Elston. And it is a special treat now to be able to go out to our 97.3 The Fan hotline and welcome on the new head coach of San Diego Wave FC. He comes to us from across the pond where he was the manager at Arsenal. He is Jonas Eidevall, and he is joining us now, making his debut on 97.3 The Fan. Coach Craig Elston, Annie Halbrun here. Real pleasure to have you on. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be on.
All right. Are we saying it right? Jonas, not Jonas?
It's Jonas.
Jonas. That's what I thought. Yeah, well, it's easy for me once you tell me once, right? Jonas Eidevall, that is outstanding. Jonas, thank you for being here. Let's start with just very simply your path to San Diego. You've been an international manager. You've been on the sideline, on the touchline since you were in your early 20s. You know, now at age 42, coming to the United States, being at San Diego Wave FC. What appealed to you to take this job?
A lot of things. I think in general, the growth, the league and WSL, I think there is a really exciting time to step in with new teams, new ownership groups that really seems to be willing to invest and make it a global leading league. So I think that part is very exciting. And I mean, specifically to San Diego Wave, they have a new, very ambitious ownership group. I think they have a tremendous fan base. Soccer is such a big thing here in San Diego, so you can really see that the foundations for success is here. And I also have to say that it appealed to me that to have a long-term vision of what we want to do with the club and with the team, and putting sort of all that knowledge that I've acquired in the last 20 years into practice, into seeing like, okay, if we're going to build something that is with world-class standards, how do we do that together, and how do we attract the people that we're able to do that with? So I like that aspect, that it's not just something short-term, that it is a club that really have a long-term vision and a long-term plan, and that I'm excited to be a part of that.
Jonas, you had so much success at Arsenal. You were the winningest manager in club history, three consecutive top three finishes in the Women's Super League. What are the characteristics behind that success? What do you hope to bring over to the Wave? What kind of culture and identity that would help facilitate those same kind of wins and successes?
I mean, the concept, I think, for any team is that every member in the team, that victory is created by and belongs to everyone. And that's the mindset that we need to have, that everything we do out on the pitch is an extension of the work that has been done before. And that could go from anything to how we travel, to how we eat, on how we prepare before training sessions. And that, for me, is a high-performing organization, when you understand that what we see the team is doing on the pitch, it's an extension of all the work and all the details that we do. And I think it's not only about getting the big things right, it's about getting the details right all the time. Mm-hmm. Because football, or soccer, as you say here, it's still getting me a little bit tight to get used to, is sometimes it's decided by the smallest margins. Yeah. And you have to be willing to, A, fight for those margins, but also understand that it's almost like the butterfly effect is in place, that you don't know that the tiniest actions can actually have the biggest implications and differences. And if you treat all those details with that care, then you will be able to create a winning culture. So it's not only about getting the players there, it's about getting the whole organization with staff on that mindset. Mm-hmm.
Jonas, how would you describe your play style, or the play style of the teams that you manage? What are you ideally wanting to see out there when everybody is connected, everybody is on the same page, and they're integrated into your system?
You know what you're saying there, that everybody stays on the same page and are connected, that's two really important things to me when we play soccer. And soccer is a quite chaotic game, because compared to many other team sports, it's not easy to be in control when you're in possession, because A, you have to control the ball with your feet and not with your hands, so it's a little bit unprotected, and then the other team come up and pressing you, and a lot of times the possession turns over in transition in open play moments. It's almost 70% of the times in soccer. So in a chaotic game, you need to fight for control, and you need to make sure that the team is on the same page, so we can view the situation with the same eyes, and then we can have the same solution. And there is a couple of principles there, but if we are going to be connected and be on the same page, the way we position ourselves, both when we play defense and in offense, it's key. It always starts with that for me, because that's a thing we can always control. And if we know where we are positioned, then we know where to look, and we can know what our priorities are. So I like to see my teams as really hardworking. They're organized, and as we'll say, with position. And we, from there on, within that structure, we have a lot of creativity. But it's always freedom within the structure. It's not freedom outside the structure.
You've had a few weeks now to work with this team and to hold a few weeks of training. What has stood out to you so far about the makeup of these players and what they can do?
That we have a lot of change. Mm-hmm. I think both from staff and from players. I mean, we basically think that the majority of the staff is going to be new, and I think almost half the roster is going to be quite new as well. And have respect for all that change. So we really are right now in a connecting, in a building phase, where we're not only learning the way that we're going to play together this season, but we're also getting to learn each other as persons, which I think is extremely important if we're going to build really strong connections. I'm quite humble for that process. I'm optimistic, but I'm also humble and understand that we really need to work through here and get strong together as a group. And that's not just going to come. We need to invest time here, both on the pitch and off the pitch, to create that unity. So that's what we're in the process of doing. I'm optimistic.
We're talking to the head coach of San Diego Wave FC, Jonas Eidevall, joining us for the first time, and hopefully certainly not the last, on Annie and Elston. Jonas, I do the PA for San Diego Wave FC, so very much looking forward to seeing the club out at Snapdragon. And you just said it. I mean, so many of the names that have been associated with San Diego Wave FC for the last few years, we know Alex Morgan was going to retire, but Jaden Shaw, Naomi Gurma, Emily Van Egmond, you could go down, Sophia Jakobsen, you know, you could go down the list in terms of players who were veterans, who were leaders, both on the pitch and in the room. And now there's a lot of new players, and that's not to say that there aren't a lot of incredible players. I know you got one of the top strikers from France. There's been a lot of international additions. In addition, some great young college talent, such as Trinity Armstrong, on the team. But how do you find the leaders in the room in a situation like this, or is it a matter of them identifying themselves?
I think it's a combination, because I think it's natural to what you're saying, that a lot of players that were here previous season were obviously really strong characters and leaders, and that probably leaves a bit of a void. And with a new group here, we need to see who's taking a step forward and wants to take a leading part. But I also think leadership is not only a natural quality. I think it's something that you can train, and if you want to become a good leader, I think you can learn that and you can coach that. So it's also to identify the person that would be motivated by having a leadership position within our team, and then we need to help and coach and sort of mentor them to become the best version and the best leader that they can be. So we're in that process now, and I think that is interesting. And I mean, that's part of what's exciting here now, that we have the ability to build something completely new, which is not necessarily bound by anything that we've done in the past. We can take the best bits that's been from the first seasons here of the franchise, and we can keep them, and we can work with them as a foundation for us, and then we can build the other bits on top of that. But that's all part of where we're in now, to identify those leaders and how we're going to work with them.
Jonas, we've seen the growth of the women's game globally, not just here in San Diego, of course, where there's been sold out crowds at Snapdragon Stadium and a big passion for watching these women play, but also across the country and internationally. What do you make of the way this sport is getting treated now, the attention it's getting, and the level of competition that it's rising to?
I think it's incredible. I mean, I've been in women's football almost for the last 10 years, and if you would have seen 10 years ago that it would have come into this phase that we are in now, I don't think many people would have believed that. But it's also so well deserved, and I mean, the players and coaches that are here now are really standing on the shoulders of giants with all the players and coaches before that were investing and were building the game up to this point. And now it's everyone's responsibility to take it further and not sort of relax, but to continue to do what I think the women's game has been doing very well, to build a close connection with the fan base, to continue to stay grounded, work hard, being good persons both on the pitch and off the pitch. And I think we can continue to grow women's soccer, I think it has a tremendous growth potential to grow even bigger.
Head coach Jonas Einevall, the new head coach of San Diego Wave FC. First time on the program. We really appreciate you coming on. Very interesting conversation. I think you didn't just get us excited, but all of the San Diego Wave FC fans listening, excited to see this new team come together. And of course, preseason matches coming up in a couple of weeks out in Coachella, and March 22nd, the home opener at Snapdragon Stadium. Hope to chat with you between here and there. But, Jonas, welcome to San Diego. Hopefully you're finding America's finest city to your liking, and best of luck in these opening steps in your journey.
Thank you so much. I'll speak soon.
You bet. Jonas Einevall, Wave FC head coach. And
awesome.
Yeah, neat to get the chance to chat with him.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, that's hard to do, right? Like, you come in, you need to earn the trust of your players, and they need to earn your trust as well. And you're getting acclimated to what you want your style of play to be and what you want your identity to be. But he's right. It's not just like, I mean, we've seen this with the Padres even with the Chargers when they were in San Diego. It's not just getting the players on board. It's bringing an identity to the entire organization and having everyone really buy into that and believe in it, even when the times are tough, right? So pretty cool that he is on the forefront and looks like he's got a good plan of attack here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so much change. It's not as simple as saying, hey, Alex, hey, Naomi, go set the tone. You know, I mean, Kalen's still there.
Players.
Yeah. Kalen's there, but there's going to be a lot of players finding their own tone. Mm-hmm. New leaders. That's why I asked him, like, is it a selection or is it an emerging process for leadership? And he said, you know, it's somewhat of both. So it'll be fascinating to see who those leaders wind up being. The leader for streaming television recommendations is coming your way next. It's Media Melanie. She is standing by for our regular Friday Crossing Stream segment. Ask us anything to follow. A lot of fun along the way. And we want to say congrats. Justin Schweitzer called in.
He did.
All right, Justin.
He's on hold, but we got you, dude. So you're good to go.
Appreciate you, Justin. Thank you. And stay tuned for more Biggest Fans. Next one to be announced at 5:30. It's Annie and Elston on the...
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest is your chance at the ultimate trip to Las Vegas. All you have to do is download the Odyssey app, log in, listen to 97.3 The Fan for at least 1 hour. and earn your daily entry into this national contest. The grand prize, travel and accommodations for a winner and three guests to Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas' premium sports viewing destination, where you can watch the biggest March Hoops party at Stadium Swim, plus $20,000 cash. Check it out. All you have to do, download the Odyssey app, log in, and listen for an hour. That's it. That's it. No form to fill out, no nothing. That's it. All right, Annie and Elston, second to last segment, heading into the weekend, but I can't say second to last segment of the week. Just a reminder, all of our shows will be live from FanFest tomorrow. Ben and Woods from 10 to noon. We will be on from 12 to 2. Do we know where we are exactly?
Section 113.
Thank you.
Outside of Section 113.
We'll be outside Section 113. I didn't know. And then
somebody doesn't read the emails.
Well, or I do and then I forget. Then from 2 to 3, Gwen and Scraby, and from 3 to 4, Scraby. Scraby. Scrabistan.
Yeah.
Outside the borders of the country. An international voyage for Scraby back into San Diego. He'll be a little bit nervous, a little confused.
Hopefully he's got his passport.
He will have a security detail with him.
Of course.
Well, yeah, no, he's the dictator of Scrabistan.
Exactly. Don't get too close.
He might bring you with him.
You might never come back. The black sites in Scrabistan are every corner. Every corner is a black site. All right.
Chairs be warned.
Right? You can just break something randomly.
You can lose your arm.
Yeah.
If you're a chair.
Although, if he kills a chair in a jurisdiction that's not his or a country that's not his, you know.
I don't even think he realizes the amount of minutes we devote to him on a day-by-day basis.
Just pretending he's an evil dictator.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
I mean, he might not be able to make it out of Petco Park if he breaks one of those chairs.
Well, diplomatic immunity is a thing. You know,
that's
so,
only if the Padres grant him diplomatic immunity.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
What if he gets extradited back to Petco Park during his show? Padres brass shows up. It's the guy got the chair. Oh, my God.
Ice, right over there. Right over there. It's the guy in black in the horror movie t-shirt.
He says he has standards. That'd be the code.
Yeah, exactly. If he says standards, you know it's
him. That's him. He'll say it.
Our Friday standard is to bring in Media Melanie for Crossing Streams, our weekly television streaming recommendation segment. Melanie, enough fun and games talking about Scrabes. Let's chat with you. How you been?
I've been well, Craig, and let me just tell you, this month of television kicking off the year has been so strong. I've been immersed in lots of great shows, and I just love coming every Friday to share them. So thanks again for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you every week, and we appreciate you as well. I'm glad to hear that you're feeling that way about the start to the 2025 television watching season. It's just a busy time at the Elston household right now with the kid and swim all the time and then podcast at the beginning of the week. So I feel like I'm doing the best I can to just stay caught up on shows like Traitors and Severance and Dondi and so on and so forth. But give me something new. Give the audience something new that you're chewing on and would recommend for everyone.
Yes, well, we are going to take a step into paradise on Hulu. This is a new political thriller series, and it's from the creator of This Is Us, Dan Fogelman, which, by the way, This Is Us, one of my favorite shows of all time. And not only that, but this stars Sterling K. Brown, who played Randall in This Is Us, and it is set against the backdrop of a picture-perfect town. But the story quickly unravels, and we get a tale that's filled with secrets and power struggles and heart-pounding twists. In fact, the end of episode one delivers a twist I'd even compare maybe to Sugar, or even bigger than the one we saw in the pilot of This Is Us, because it was so unexpected. I mean, I did not see it coming. And, you know, the show's really just got this foundational Fogelman feel. And even though there is this big twist, there's also just such a focus on the emotional storylines that have impact. We also have James Marsden in the show. He co-stars as President Cal Bradford. He is a beloved leader, and his shocking murder becomes the central season one mystery. And with all of this chaos brewing, Sterling K. Brown's character, Xavier Collins, who was tasked with protecting the president, steps into the spotlight first as a suspect, but then he goes on a journey to uncover the truth behind this assassination. The investigation deepens, and it becomes very clear that Paradise is anything but the title implies. The series, yes, very mysterious. I'm excited for people to watch and really see how they react to the twist. The series also stars Julia Nicholson, who you may know from Mayor of Easttown and Criminal Intent back in the day. She plays Sinatra, a powerful leader in this town of Paradise. And we also get Sarah Shahi, who is in Person of Interest and a bunch of other shows. She plays a therapist, Gabby, and I think she might be up to something nefarious. And the twist I mentioned at the end of episode one, let's just say that you will be left questioning everything you thought about the show. And without spoiling anything, there are a couple of current shows that have a similar backdrop to this reveal. I don't want to give it away, and I hope that this series is able to differentiate itself. And I think it will, because we've got a lot of developing characters. We're invested in high emotional stakes. And again, Dan Fogelman is just so good. I mean, he was executive producer on Only Murders in the Building, and his signature storytelling just like really does a good job of keeping you hooked. So if you guys are into this and want to uncover the secrets of Paradise, the first three episodes are now available on Hulu. New ones are dropping weekly on Tuesdays, and there's eight in the first season. So far, so good.
Okay, so is it fair to say that the recommendation is to watch the first episode, get to the twist, and see how you feel?
Yes, exactly. I think it could go either way, but I also think that because this is a Dan Fogelman show and it feels like it's going to differentiate itself with the emotional investment, I think it's going to work. I have high hopes for it.
Okay, Paradise, streaming on Hulu, three episodes now, weekly for probably the next 5 weeks or so, on Tuesdays. Great recommendation, Media Melanie. I'll just tell you, I'm catching up on a show that has a new season coming out, a third season in February, and that's Invincible on Amazon Prime. That is the animated series that is built off of Robert Kirkman's Invincible comic books. Kirkman is also the creator of The Walking Dead. And the premise, I would say, the elevator pitch premise back to the first season is, what if Superman was completely evil, as told from the perspective of his son? And that would be my pitch for Invincible. Stephen Yeun, Sandra Oh, J.K. Simmons are some of the key voices on the show. It is easily the most violent superhero cartoon you'll ever see. It's, in fact, rated TV-18, so keep that in mind. Anime-level violence is what I would say, anime-level violence. But it's a very inventive storyline. I think it's the single best superhero genre writing than I've seen in years, because Marvel and DC have kind of fallen into their own various generic pits. And if that's the kind of thing that appeals to you, then I would definitely recommend Invincible. There are two seasons of 8 episodes each at about 40 to 50 minutes per episode, available on Amazon Prime. But there's a third season that begins in mid-February. So if it's something that is appealing to you, you'll probably binge fast enough to catch up in time for season three.
All right, that sounds good. Not my genre, but boy, my son is really into the anime, although it sounds like he is too young for this one.
Well, you know, I somehow allowed my son, who's 13, to watch this because I've seen some of the anime that he's watched and the ridiculous violence that's in it. And I'm like, well, this wouldn't be too bad for you. But he's been bugging me like, hey, Dad, you got to get caught up so we can watch season three together. So that's what I'm doing. Okay, we got Paradise on Hulu. We got Invincible on Amazon Prime. Media Melanie, always appreciate your time on these Fridays. Let everyone know where they can see all the content that you're creating on your own.
Yes, you can follow me on the socials at Media Melanie and subscribe to my YouTube channel at MediaMelanieTV.com.
Appreciate you. Talk to you next Friday.
Sounds good. Thank you. Have a good weekend, everyone.
You too, Melanie.
You too.
Thanks, Annie. Bye.
Bye. We'll be seeing Melanie soon at Petco Park once the games start. But yeah, good stuff.
And you'll be watching Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah, it's on the list.
Before tomorrow.
this weekend.
No. This is FanFest.
only have to watch the first.
Yeah, you got
to
get ready tonight for FanFest. So, right. You got to
get locked in.
Then you got to come down from it later.
Of course.
Right?
I mean,
get your headphones in, walk into the ballpark, get locked in for the show.
Just get through the traffic and the parking.
Yeah, seriously. So.
That's enough of an excuse not to watch Glenn Ross. I'm going to have to park? You're telling me I'm going to have to drive and park? What? One of these days, you're going to come in, and you're going to have this glint in your eye.
Yes.
It's a gleam.
It's going to be a gleam. We're going to find the gleam. Mm-hmm. There's a gleam, man. Gentlemen. There's a gleam.
Right. So you can't force it. If you force it, I'm less likely to do it.
I understand. Yeah. Don't tell you what to do.
Right, exactly. Yes, that's exactly it. But if it's like, hey, this might be kind of fun. Oh, maybe they'll kind of like this. This would be
make
a nice thing to do.
Her idea.
Yeah.
One of those.
Precisely.
Make it her idea.
That one day. You just know it, Braden. Like, she's going to be waiting. She's going to have that smile. We're going to open the show, and she's just going to be like, coffee is for closers. Yeah. Like, you did it!
She's going to be like, hey,
I'm probably really going to enjoy it. That's the sad part. Yeah. Like, it's probably going to be like, man, I should have watched this a long time ago.
Yeah, you are. You're going to kick yourself for it.
If only they hadn't have kept telling me to do it. Yeah. I would have done it a long time ago.
And I won't feel bad for you.
Oh, man.
Real quickly on the Michael King topic, since we talked about it so much in the open in the first hour or two of the show, Jeff Sanders put out an updated cash payroll projection to include the deals of Michael King and Elias Diaz. And they're at $195 million for this projection payroll. And then he says that FanGraphs has the luxury tax number at $245 million, just above the $241 million threshold. Yep. So
it didn't really
affect it. I guess.
Has it not been updated?
Or maybe, I don't know.
FanGraphs has been updated. Okay. The estimated 2025 payroll, according to FanGraphs, was 211, and now with this deal, it's down to 205. But the luxury tax number is at 245.
Well, isn't that exactly where it was before?
No. It was at like 240.
Yesterday after Diaz, I thought it was at 245.
It's possible. Maybe. I thought that's what we've been talking about all season, is it's like just a little over the threshold. But
so they're still a little over the threshold.
It sounds like it, at least according to FanGraphs.
Right.
Well, they're always right. I mean, they're usually right. So,
but the
trade's still coming then.
The buyouts, buyouts have been added to 2026 already.
Mm.
Michael King buyout 3.75. Elias Diaz buyout, $2 million.
Elias Diaz gets $2 million on a buyout?
Tyler Wade, $50,000. All those buyouts have been updated to 2026.
Boy, wow.
So that's...
I don't like that. I just turned him into a $5.5 million
player.
That's
a $5.8 million against the cap next year on all that stuff. Again, like I said, they're just pushing it forward. They're like, we'll just deal with it next year.
Yeah, no, they're kicking kicking the can down the road in that sense, absolutely. A few million more next year for a few million less this year. So King accounts
for 7.75 according to FanGraphs.
So bottom line, the Padres dropped their payroll number, but they did not add to their CBT number by signing Michael King. The number basically stayed in place.
Here's what
sounds
they did.
Like it.
Here's
unless
what they did.
We're missing
they
something.
Put the number that they were willing to offer Michael King, they put on the AAV, even though they're going to pay him what he wanted.
Right.
So the 7.75, which is relatively what they were willing to pay him in arbitration,
right,
is going to the AAV this year. He's going to get the $8 million, 8 point whatever, anyway, but they're not going to have to pay for the full eight towards the thing. So they are saving some money in that sense. They basically were like, we're going to give you what you want, but we're going to put what we want on the books for the AAV. And this is a way that we can both win at this. That's what it looks like to me.
Well,
as
very
I look
interesting.
At the roster
resource. It doesn't preclude that they did come to an agreement, and it shows that they have the ability to maybe strike a further agreement down the road. But the thing I was thinking that they accomplished, they didn't actually accomplish. They didn't go under the CBT.
Mm-hmm. All those incentives count.
Yeah.
As of right now. But if he doesn't reach them, I guess it would go down, theoretically.
So, but still work to be done. Point is, still work to be done. And even if they cut $10 million off by trading, for example, a Suarez, that would only bring them down to like $6 million under the CBT numbers. So there's still a lot of complicated stuff yet to come, but as we've detailed through you for you throughout the course of today's show, there's also a lot of bargains opening up on the free agent market. So the idea that we can get to someplace interesting and creative over the next month and a half, I think it's still very much in play. Here's what we're going to do. Take our last time out of the show. And when we come back, we're reopening the phone lines for Ask Us Anything. 833-288-0973 is our phone number. 833-288-0973. Give us a call right now. You got 13 minutes, 12 minutes to call the show. And when you do, we'll put you on hold. We'll put you on the air. All we're asking for this segment is you have a question ready to ask the show. Doesn't even have to be about sports. It's Ask Us Anything. And then Gwen and Chris at 2 on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Craig Elston from Annie and Elston. Just wanted to take a second to say thank you for downloading and listening to Annie and Elston. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening to us. Also, favorite us on the Odyssey app. Also, we're live weekdays on YouTube. And, of course, you can always listen live weekdays 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.